times over.
This morning, I am going to hopefully do my part as a pastor to encourage you and to just help us grow in just the things that Scripture would teach us. And I'll tie it in with Mother's Day, that's for sure. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. And hey, you might want to mute the effects just a little bit until I start singing. It ain't going to happen yet. And in Exodus chapter 20, we're going to start reading. And I'm going to focus on verse 12. Actually, I'm going to have a hard time keeping my notes down here. The wind is blowing right on them. Do you want to help me move this down? I'm going to get out of the wind for a second. That way I don't have to keep capturing my notes. Let's move this down just a little bit. Thank you, bro. Gracias. It's out of the way. Yeah. We got to put a diffuser on the AC unit right there because it blows right at the worship leader or the pulpit. It's a devious plan to get the notes to fly away. And Exodus chapter 20, and let's look at specifically verse 12. How many of you feel like you could quote the Big Ten? Those are one of those things that the minute you hear it, you kind of go, let the little nine-year-old go first. Just because as adults, we tend to forget some of the things like the Ten Commandments. And we remember a few of them, and we forget some of them. And so this morning, I'm going to focus on one of the Ten Commandments, the fifth. But let's go ahead and read. I'm going to start at verse 1, and then we'll stop just after we get with the fifth commandment. It says in chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "Then God spoke all of these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And you're going to have no other gods before me." Everybody say one. That's it. "And you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the water under the earth, and you shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation," ooh man, "of those who hate me, ooh, "but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." That's all two. Everybody say two. Have no other gods before me, one. Have no other graven images or worship anybody else like that. Two. All right, moving on. Verse 7, it says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain." Say three. That's right. Are we on track still? Verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the seventh day it is a Sabbath of the Lord your God, and in it you shall not do any work," except for make breakfast for your mom, "do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servants or your cattle or sojourners stay with you," all that kind of stuff. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So what number is that? Quattro. Awesome. Now verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." What one is that one? That's right. This is awesome. I think in my mind that all fits on one tablet that, you know, Moses was carrying. And then on the second tablet, you could read, "Shalt not murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, and don't covet." I mean, these are some good things, right, that we're not supposed to do. I read these because these Ten Commandments are not given to us as a legalistic set of rules that we've got to keep. They're really principles that God had to explain to a nation that was learning how to live in a promised land. Think about this. God was literally giving instructions, principles, so that every single child of God could experience the full blessing he had for them. And I believe this is applying to each and every one of us here today. Do you want blessing in your life? I so want to be blessed in my life. I want to sense that favor of God in every area of my life. And do you know how we experience that blessing? We hear his words and we take them to heart. We hide them in our heart and we apply them in every aspect of our life. Guaranteed, you will feel the favor of God in your life because you're living according to his words. And he had to teach the Israelites that, and he has to teach us that. We're not born knowing them. We really aren't. Maybe through your mother and father, you begin to learn them, hopefully, but some of us didn't grow up in a Christian home, right? So when you become a Christian, a Christ follower, you devote yourself to the Word of God, and you begin to learn the principles by which we live. And those principles give you back dividends upon dividends. They're investments that give you such blessing and peace in your life. One of which, number five, the principle we highlight today, honor. Honor your father and your mother. And why in the world was this included as a principle in which to live? He says there comes a promise in here, a promise of a prolonged life. Now, teasing, tongue in cheek, this is where I believe that statement of I brought you into this world and I can take you out came from. I think that's where that root is. But that's not really its application. It really is teaching people who never understood how to value life. Hear this. It was teaching them how to provide for the needs of the elderly. It was teaching them how to provide for the practical and emotional things that every single family would have to deal with. Can you imagine for a second, just imagine a culture, a society that disregards those that become more dependent and too old to really make a wonderful contribution. Can you imagine how miserable it would be? It would be a horrible place to live. Everybody would love to be 30, but once you get to what? 80, suddenly your cost-benefit ratio somehow tips, and then they're like, we're looking to just not supply you with the medicine you need, and we're just, well, as long as you go quietly, basically stop talking to us about the things you need in life, we just hope you die without us around. You know, that it's horrible to think of a society that no longer values those that are elderly and important. Yet we're an American culture built on principles of what? The Bible. Regardless of what anybody else might say, America is one of those shining examples of a culture that really finds its meaning and essence for why we do things the way we do. We don't do them because we're socialists or communists or anything like that. That's an ideology built not on the Bible, it's built on something else. We're built on the principles of the Word. And so in this country, we honor the elderly. In this country, we honor those that have gone before us. And I think it's awesome. And so today, there are a couple different ways that I'm going to draw this out. And really, I just want to encourage you to live by God's principles and experience greater blessing in your life. That's the whole point of this message today. I want you to fall in love with God's Ten Commandments, maybe. I want you to fall in love with what he's told us to do in Scripture so that you can have an increase of blessing in your life. Here's how it starts. I want to share with you just a little bit of a story. I know that when it comes to honoring people, I think we have to define what honoring means. And so the very first thing that I look at is, let's look at what Scripture meant when it said honor. Right there in Exodus 20, verse 12, when it says, honor your parents, that Hebrew word basically means this. It means the idea of something that is weighty and has a sense of noteworthiness to it or is impressive. Something that is noteworthy or impressive. And the way that we kind of get the understanding of that is first, through what is reputation. So the first way that we honor, we guard reputation and we think of reputation. What is it that makes someone impressive? And what is it that encourages maybe an idea in a group that says, wow, that person is really valuable or important? Now, I'll tell you how this usually comes across is if you have a lot of, say, wealth or money. In the Bible times, if you were a king or if you were a queen or a prince of some sort, you immediately had all of the benefits of weightiness and stature. Everybody respected you. Why? Because maybe you had a big crew of camels following you. So when you came into town, they all gave you honor simply because you had a lot of bling. And in our culture, I don't think it changes much. You don't have to be very smart. You don't have to be very ethical or any of that. You don't even have to have great character. As long as you've sold a lot of songs or books or, I don't know, got a bazillion tweets or something like that, or a YouTube following that is bizarrely huge, suddenly you get honor. Why? We've equated that. We said, oh man, they're impressive. They're noteworthy. See, the idea that God wanted us to get is that your mom and your dad and those that have gone before you should always be impressive and noteworthy. My girls and I, they introduced me to a YouTube phenomenon not too long ago. What is his name? Cameron Dallas. And literally, I'm a dad. I don't know what's popular in a lot of things. And so when they show me this stuff, I kind of pull it up and I look at it. And most of it, I just want to look at it so I can make fun of it. Honestly, that's all I want to do. Okay, show me what's popular so I can make fun of it and laugh and stuff. So they literally showed me a squad video. I didn't know do you know what a squad video is? No, because it's not important. You know, things like that's right. But evidently, they are noteworthy and impressive. And this Cameron guy, no dissing Cameron. He's probably a great guy. But I can't avoid making fun of this. This is great. They made a video of what? Them walking. Them walking. That was the YouTube video of them walking. Not just walking. Walking in slow motion. Like it wasn't impressive enough just to walk. They said, well, let's slow it down and really see. I couldn't believe this. And I'm watching this. And the big moments were like a hair flip. And I'm like, these are guys. They don't even have long hair. Well, some of them do because they're confused. That's a different, the different issue. I'm sorry. They're over there. They're flipping their hair. And then they're walking. And they're like doing things like the look. I didn't even know there was an impressive look. But evidently there is. It's like that. I can't do it. I'm beyond the age of being cool and having a squad video. And then the fact that they walked together with people was impressive. I walk together with people all the time. And usually I'm telling them to calm down or be quiet because they're my girls. You know, it's like, knock it off. Stop fighting. Quiet. Shh. Walk like Cameron. You know, I don't know. That was impressive and noteworthy. Come on. So I laugh at that stuff, but that's our culture. That's what's impressive and noteworthy right now. You know what should be impressive and noteworthy? Is the mom we saw in that movie trailer that's peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, like in rifle fashion. That's what they should do slow motion videos of. That's what should be noteworthy and impressive. Sadly, it's not. And the funny thing is back in the Bible days, they really highlighted this. They really highlighted this, and in fact, it was so important that if there was a disconnect between impressiveness, noteworthiness, and all of that, and a person's character, Jesus looked at it and said, that's disgusting. In today's day and age, they don't even care what your character's like, as long as you have a big following. Why do I say this in Proverbs 21:21? It talks about how if we have all of the trappings of glory, but we don't have the accompanying weight of character, it's just horrid. It's not good for us. It's the same quality that Jesus criticized in the modern day religious folks that were Pharisees and hypocrites. He said, you've got all of the outward signs of a great following and importance, but what you're lacking is character to equal or match that. You have all this religious stuff, but you don't have good character. See, I like the days when people would take note of people like Mother Goose. Did anybody ever grow up hearing Mother Goose little fairy tales and stories and things like that? Do you remember any of them offhand? This is a pop quiz. Anybody remember any mother? You remember a Mother Goose thing? Well, can you say a little part of it? What? You like remembered all of it. That's amazing. How many else remembers Hickory Dickory Dock and those things like that? That's amazing. Now, wasn't Mother Goose the one responsible for the man in the shoe or the lady in the shoe one too? Oh, no, that's an old Mother Hubbard. How many of you knew that Mother Goose was a real person? Mother Goose was a real person. The reason we have a Mother Goose and all those stories is because there was a real lady who was, she lost her husband. Listen to this story. Old Mother Goose was actually a real woman whose maiden name was Foster. Born in Charlestown, Massachusetts in 1665, she married Isaac Goose. That's a lesson right there. Hey, we're all my daughters. Be careful who you marry. Read their last names. Their last names. Just remember, your last name's been Lamb for a long time. Don't marry a goose. It would just... let's like break out of the barn animal theme, maybe. I don't know. So, one of my teachers in art class in Bible school was, his last name was Pig. And then another, a missionary that we supported, his last name was Pew. And I'm like, God, why have you surrounded ministers with silly names? This is crazy. We need some more normal names. So she married Isaac Goose, and this is what happened. He died, and he left her as a widow with 10 kids. Yeah, Mikey, that's crazy. That is crazy. So what do you do with 10 kids? You make up a bunch of imaginary friends and tell them all kinds of stories, right? Just to make time. This was before Netflix, so she had to come up with something to entertain them. But this Mother Goose, she shines as somebody that's impressive to me. Why? Because she lived things that I think so many people today, we don't even have that opportunity to live like this. She's impressive, and she's rightly so impressive. In fact, I love people who honor moms and raise that sense of importance in our eyes. And I came across this poem from one person about their mother. And this is what they wrote. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and it yielded at my will. I came again when many days were past. The form I gave it, still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it, still I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay one day and gently formed it day by day and molded with my power and my art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were long gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore. And you know, I could change it nevermore. I look at that and I think of my mom. I think of my mom because when I was really little, my first impressions of my mother that shaped this living clay was a mom that worked hard, got up early and did all kinds of things and never stopped until the sun had long gone. And she was usually the last person in bed, but she was most likely the first person up. And that woman not only took care and managed the house, but she also did everything else in addition to that, driving us here and there and starting small side businesses. And she usually had one or two just so that she could fund birthday presents and things like that and do special things. And I remember it's because often my mom would save all of her little what she called mad money. And it was money that she would save so that she wouldn't go crazy because she'd spend that money on doing something for the whole family. And so she would put it away in a jar and she'd keep it and keep it and keep it. And it was usually that money that she would take me, my two sisters, and my wonderful dad, and we'd all go on vacation somewhere. Now, it wouldn't be an extravagant vacation. Sometimes it would be. Depends on the pot of mad money. And sometimes we would go as far as Florida and we'd go to Disneyland. Other times it would just be going to a campground or something like that. But you know, I never forgot all of those moments that you would catch your mom or you're, you know, doing this or that. And it's like, man, what is she doing? She's saving money. She's putting it aside. Why? For me. I don't know for sure, but I know guaranteed it's something to do with me, because that woman never does something just for herself. She's always doing it for someone else. And she's working from early morning until way late at night. I read this poem and I think of my mom. And you know, it's impressed me. Today, that's the reason why, for better or worse, I have 16 million projects going on. Always. My house is just in shambles with all kinds of projects that I'm responsible for. Why? Because I just don't know how to shut it off. I'm building this. I'm doing that. I'm shaping that. I make a mess over here. And then they're like, ooh, I have another idea. Let's make a mess over there. Maybe this will be fun. And I just do this constantly. So I'm building a basement. I'm doing something in the garage. I'm messing around with cars. I'm, you know, doing something up at the church. Let's build another wall. Let's paint this. I don't know. It's just my brain goes on and on and on. Why? Because of my first impressions. That's what affected me. And so now I'd rather work than sit. I don't know why, even if it's just making more messes. But I've been impressed. Have you been impressed by your mom? How many of you can remember vividly something that was passed on from the way your mom did life or did something that is now a part of you? You can't ignore it. It's just part of you. For better or worse. You know, it just is. And I love that. So when it comes to Scripture, I think the first thing that we've got to do is we've got to honor our moms and we've got to speak highly of them. Why? Because we've got to learn how to raise that sense of importance and value in the world around us. And I think this is important, because if you look in Numbers 22, let's turn there real quick. There we go. Numbers 22. Oh, that's Balak talking about how he got a bunch of distinguishing accolades. That's not the verse I want to see. All right, honey, make a note of it. I need to get glasses. I really do. This is horrible. How many times have you heard me say this at church? Right when I'm going to look at something, I go, I think that's what I want to read. No, that is not what I want to read. All right, that is not what I want to read at all. Okay, Deuteronomy 27, 16. Good. All right, there we go. Numbers, Deuteronomy. All right, here we go. 27, 16. There we go. Let's see if that one fits with the point. Oh, someone went, ooh, that's a good one. If it's a good one, we'll keep it. All right. So 27:16, let me find it. It's right here. That is it. Boy. It says in my Bible, it says, cursed is he who dishonors his father or mother, and all of the people shall say amen. I love that. Everybody goes, do we need to say amen to that? You just said something about curse there. Okay, so the reason that this is here in Deuteronomy is because as they get into the promised land, one of the first things that they do is they go back and they recap all of the principles that were given back at that mountain. Back at that mountain where God gave Moses the law. And then as they get into the promised land, they say, here's all of the things that we've got to do to be blessed in life. And one of them that he says, he goes, hey, if we dishonor our mom and dad, there's a curse on that. And all that means is judgment and consequence. Now, it goes one step further, and it says in that Old Testament way, if you dishonor your mother or your father, it actually carried a death penalty. Ha! This is crazy, isn't it? In fact, in this early phase, If by the age of 13, so right about that time you began to transition into your adult manhood or adult life, so to speak, if you were judged as being a disrespectful person, if, in other words, you had proved to the people in your community that you were disrespectful to your mom or dad, your mom and dad would bring you to the city gates and the elders would judge you as being a potential threat to the well-being of all the society that mattered to them. And they would literally bury the 13-year-old. This is Jewish history. They would bury the 13-year-old up to their waist in dung and then pour pitch over them and light them on fire. I know, isn't this crazy? This, you're like, the Jewish people did that? That's insane. Now, this is when I say, aren't you glad the law is gone and we don't have to do that? I'm telling you. So, praise God that none of the disrespecting teenagers I know have to deal with the death penalty. Woo! Man. So, what is it actually saying and why is this important and why was it in Scripture? It's because God was emphasizing in very, very vivid terms that there comes consequences, both literal and figuratively. You may die not literally today because you dishonor someone, but you know what? There is a death and a separation that comes if we disrespect those like our moms and our dads and those that have gone before us. What do we lose? What dies? I'll tell you what dies. Meaning and purpose. Not just meaning and purpose, but also the sense of society honoring those things that need to be honored. We lose it. And so today, the challenge would be simply to reinstate some talking well about your mom and dad. Talking well about your mom. And so for your mom today, say some nice stuff to her. This is why we have Hallmark, right? This is why we have cards. This is why it's important for us to fill out some paper and say, hey, mom, I really think that you're awesome. Thanks for like changing my diapers when I was little and this or that. And thanks for doing all that. That's not silly stuff that should be taken lightly. It's something that God says you've got to remember to keep doing. Now, there is something else. What if you have a mom that doesn't have the character that is equal to that probably cliched sense of, well, she's worth honoring? There's no scapegoat for us. As a Christ follower, you give these gifts of honoring not just to the earthly person, you give them as unto the Lord. So even if you have a mom or a dad that kind of treated you badly, don't dwell on that. That's not the point. The point is you honor God who brought you into this world through them. I remember when Reggie Dabbs first gave his testimony and he talked about how he was born in horrible situations because of his mom and prostitution and all this kind of stuff that was going on. And here he was brought into the world. There was no way for him to even find out who his dad was. Why? Because his mom was not really the best of role models and all of that stuff. But you know what? If it wasn't for that mom, and that donor, so to speak, or whatever, we wouldn't have a guy like Reggie Dabbs who's traveled the world over inspiring countless young people to live a life for God. So as Reggie Dabbs finds ways to honor God bringing him into this world, you and I also need to do that. So even if you're not really on good terms with your folks, send them a note anyway. Send them a note and say, hey, I just want to say thank you for being my mom or my dad. They may not understand it or even receive it, but you'll be honoring God, and that's important. Amen? I want to end with this illustration, and it's so appropriate since we took communion today. I really do believe that parents, when we honor them and we are impressed by them, some of the things that God wants to teach us through their example become very real. This only happens if we live and follow Jesus, because if Jesus is who we're following, then the world's going to see Jesus in us. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you have a godly mom or dad, that godly mom or dad has an opportunity to be a witness. Your faith will actually be a visible illustration in the world around you. Moms have a powerful opportunity to represent Christ. Hear that. This is the most important thing. If you forget everything else, remember this. As a mom, you have the opportunity to represent Christ in real ways. I came across this testimony of a minister, a missionary in China. His name is Leland. Leland Wan. Leland Wan gave this testimony when he was a young kid. He said, as a young kid, he was unruly and just crazy. He was a wild kid. A kid that got in trouble. You ever know a kid like that? Point to him right now. No, I'm teasing. Don't do that. It's horrible. Not to break the mood, but I heard one comedian said, I went to go pick out a Mother's Day card for my mom, and all of them kind of had the same kind of tone. Mom, you this and this, you're wonderful. And I was reading all the qualities, and like, that really didn't seem to apply for my mom. And he goes, I came up with an idea. Maybe we should just have literal cards. Mom, you've never really been there for me. And I didn't like the stuff you made me to eat. But I know that you're my mom, and so I love you. To which she would, on my birthday, probably respond with my card. You've always been a disappointment, Mom. And I'm like, we don't want those kinds of kids and moms and literal things. But this is the point that I want to make. Leland witnessed in his mom at a very young age her illustrating Christ and her faith in this way. He was in a particular fit of rebellion. He was running around, and he was in single digits. So you're talking a 7-year-old kid running around, acting like a hooligan. And this mom was really at her wit's end, and she couldn't even catch him. Moms know exactly what that's like. Come here. And boy, they bolt. Those kids are fast. And she was really at her wit's end. She didn't know what to do. And so he was totally rebellious and ignoring every kind of thing that she would say. And she was just getting very frustrated. And suddenly she got an idea, and she felt like it was God. So she went with it. And she began to explain. She said, well, Leland, you're so rebellious and you're not listening to your mother. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I know that a good mom disciplines disrespect and disciplines rebellion, but I can't even catch you to discipline you. And I love you so much, so the only thing I can do is I'm going to discipline myself. And she rolled up her sleeve to her dress, and she took a little stick that she found from outside, and she said to her son, as he's like hiding and running around, she goes, so I'm just going to take the punishment you deserve for being such a disrespectful son. I'm going to give it to myself. And she began to swack her arm. Now, this sounds bizarre. When I'm reading this testimony of this missionary to China, I'm going, now that's wackadoo. That's crazy. If I was at Walmart and saw this, I'd be like, excuse me, ma'am, we're going to call the cops because you need some help right now. This just doesn't make sense. It's not parenting 101. But she got a divine inspiration, she thought, and she went with it. And the funny thing happened. As she began to swat her arm and discipline herself, Leland started to cry. And he came running to his mom, grabbed her legs, and in tears, bawling, saying, Mama, stop, don't do that. And she said, but Leland, someone has to be disciplined for your rebellion. And she begins to whack her arm again, and he grabs the stick, and he says, no, Mom, no, no, I deserve that. And she said, I know, but I love you. And so she gave him a hug, and she says, it really breaks my heart when you disrespect and you do all this. And you know, Leland grew up and he became a missionary, and it's his testimony that I got this from. And he said, I never forgot, even at a young age, what that meant. Immediately, I knew what Christ's substitutionary death was. Because of a disciplinary moment my mom got creative in, I never forgot that Christ paid the penalty for my sin. I never forgot it. I'm a missionary today, he said, because of the impact my mom made. Now, I just want to challenge you, moms. Would you stand with me today? Moms, I challenge you to let the Lord use you as a godly mom to impact this next generation. You may never realize it, but even in disciplinary times, being mom, trying to be the heavy, because I know sometimes moms, you're the only one that disciplines sometimes. But don't give up. Love that child like Christ loved the church. Love that child like Christ loved you. And I guarantee you, if you keep that your persistent goal, when that child grows, they'll have a shining example of Christ's love in their life. And you know, when I look around this room, I see many moms who are doing that. I see moms who are following after Jesus and living a life of love for Jesus, and you're disciplining and loving your kids in that same way. Don't give up. If your kids are grown, your job might seem half done or all the way done, but you know what? You're still a shining example of Christ's love in their life. Never allow the devil or never allow this world to discourage you from your role. You cannot be replaced. Would you close your eyes this morning? And I want to pray a blessing over you. Heavenly Father, I ask that today on Mother's Day, when everyone in this country celebrates, takes time to stop and dote and raise the awareness of how impressed we are with moms. As we obey your principles in Scripture, we honor our fathers and our mothers today. We honor our mothers right now. And I ask for you to bless each and every one of the moms here in this room. Bless them with strength. Bless them with power. Lord, let their love be a shining example of your selfless love. Let their life be a shining example how you laid down your life for the world. Lord, let their love be what all of us aspire to be more like. And I just ask you for that blessing on them in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Would everyone stand and would you put your arm around your mom and would you just pray your own blessing on them this morning? And we're gonna dismiss you in just a couple seconds, but as we do, we're gonna start singing a little bit of a worship song. And I pray you have a wonderful day with your mom. If you've not taken some time to get a picture at the little photo booth, please stop and do that. And then the last thing I'm gonna say before I dismiss this and we'll sing is this: if you need anything, if you need prayer for anything at all, you came here today and I don't want you to leave without getting that prayer. So please come down, tell Trish or tell the Parmas over here what it is that you might need prayer for, and we would love to pray for you today. And you never know, this could be the day where God does a miracle in your life, amen? So praise God, bless your mama, and you guys are dismissed today, amen?
Oh, bless His name.